with us. Hallelujah. And Miss Bobby, we had a lot of fun last night talking about things. David was cracking up because I had a lot of one-liners. And this morning he's cutting up back here about how long is forever. And I said, well, that depends on which side of the bathroom door you're on. So, you know, I mean, forever can be a long time in that matter, right? You know what I'm talking about. Look at me like, well, that's not dignified. Oh, grow up. Mature a little bit. Have a little fun. You know, if you weren't so square, you would be able to go into that hole a little bit better. Amen. Have a little joy in your life. Amen. The world's too tense, too stuck up. Rejoice a little bit. Amen. It's a good thing. But we were cutting up and having a good time. Even after that in there, we were having fun talking about other things. Amen. So he knows he's got one. And I'm going to tell that joke next Sunday. It's one. Amen. So David's going to do a good job today, right? All right, because we don't want two. Okay. Amen. You know, three strikes, you're what? Out. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, stand up on your feet. I'm going to shut my mouth. Somebody said amen, Pastor. Amen. And let's give thanks unto God, but let's welcome Brother David and Bobby Heskey this morning. Amen. Come on, bud.
Thank you, Pastor James.
You're very welcome.
I don't know how.
Okay, then I'll do it for you.
Well, thank you. Hey, everybody. Hey. Is Jesus good?
Amen.
If it weren't for him, we'd be in a big mess, right?
That's right.
Thank God for Jesus. And I'm so glad you made it. We've been excited about this. Ever since it's been, you know, put down on the records, I had to exercise my patience in order to get here. So I'm so glad Bobby got to make it. She's going to share a few things with you, and then we'll get into. It's interesting, the messages I'm going to have for you. Very interesting. God just has his ways relating things. So we'll get into that in a little bit. It's just really going to be very, very good, very insightful. So how many of y'all believe Jesus is a good Jesus, right?
Yes.
Now, let's do this. I don't know why I have this impression, but I do. What we're going to do in a minute, we're going to take a deep breath in, then we're going to let a deep breath out, and we're going to have one focus, rest. All right? So whatever the world brought to you this week or through the month, we're going to put all that aside. We're not going to be bothered about anything. We're not going to be worked up about anything. We're just going to be at rest. And we're going to be at rest in God more than anything so that God can do what he wants to do. Amen. Are you with me?
Amen.
All right, so let's take that deep breath in. I'm still sucking it in. All right, let it out. Now rest. Get the body like all really all restful, right? And let's be at rest this morning. Rest in Christ. You can be seated. Thank you for being so kind. And so Bobby, she's here. She, I want to brag on her a little bit. She has been taking college courses and has an advanced degree in counseling. So she's sitting, you know, the 501c, all that, doing a lot of hard work. Well, in that then, she has had quite a few different books that she's worked on. And so I just wanted her to share a few things that she's been doing to help people. And so I'm going to let her do that. And I think Pastor James wants you to use this, honey. Is it on, Pastor James? Flip the switch?
Up.
It's up. Okay. There you go.
Praise the Lord. It's good to be here with you guys. I'm so excited. God's doing great work here. I can see. And we just thank you for having us in. I'm going to be real quick and get out of the way because we're going to let God show up and show out, right? God's going to do it today. God is good all the time, no matter what we go through. Amen? But unfortunately, at times we feel like, where are you? You ever been there? You feel like, God, where are you in this situation? And I know for me personally, years back, I was in that situation. And I didn't know where God was, and I'm like, God, what's going on in my life? I'm just trying to serve you, but everything's coming against me. And I went through a very unfortunate divorce, unwanted divorce, and through that, all things can work together for the good of God. So if you're going through something this morning, I want to encourage you, give God 1 year, and God will turn it around. You just stay faithful and hold on to God. He has got so many good things in store for you. So I, as I went through everything that I went through, there were times I didn't know what to do, but it was just journal, you know, just journal what I was going through and try to get, you know, all the support I could. And I did not know, I had no idea God would ever lead me to write a book. And so years later, he did. He put it on my heart to write a book. So if you know anyone that is going through divorce or a broken relationship or having a really hard time, this book is for them. It's called Divorce Medics. We only have a couple today here with us, but you can get it on Amazon. And it goes through the different phases of divorce and kind of how to get through them and what to do. And then there's a couple of bonus chapters in there on, you know, finances and things like that. Because if you're really young and you're going through a divorce, sometimes you can really be challenged and don't know what to do. So this kind of gives you guidance on what to do. My prayer is that it would just bless you or whoever you give it to. And we pray over these books, okay? The other one that I want to share with you is just a stress reliever. And it's Wildflowers and Winged Wonders. And it's kind of like a color book, really geared towards adults. It has scriptures and things in it, but young can enjoy it too. So anyway, just want to bless you with that. You can, again, we have a few of those, and then you can get them on Amazon too. So anyway, bless you. Thank you for allowing us to be here. Blessings.
Thank you, honey. Thank you, Pastor James. She has been a busy, busy little bee. I'll tell you right now, man, and it's wonderful. You know, the life has funny twists and turns, doesn't it? Funny twists and turns. You can have things planned out a certain way, and a lot of times, you know, the plans will work out, but there's sometimes the plan's just not, it's just not working out like the way you focused or saw it or determined it. And, you know, that's where you just have a place in God where, you know, Lord, I'm just not going to be frustrated about this. I'm not going to be worried about this. And or if we are, we're going to get through it. And then, you know, it comes to a place of we know God makes all things to work together for good to those who love God. And that's a promise, you know. And so we've almost thrown that out in the word of faith, so to speak, but it's a real promise. And I understand it's sandwiched within the prayer life and all that. But the condition is just I just keep loving on, as he loves on me, I keep loving on God. And God says, I'm going to make all this work for the good. And I remember going through a situation that I thought, there's no way. This is not possible with what I'm seeing and feeling and sensing. And the Lord said, I'm going to make this work for the good. And I'll be honest with you, that took me 2 minutes to get a hold of that because what I was going through was so difficult. I mean, it was just, everything was being robbed, so to speak. And then I just like, you know what, God, here, all right, I just choose to believe it. And the moment I said that, then he said, blessed is a man that will endure. Now that's mankind. Blessed is a person that will endure. So in other words, I'm going to make it work for the good, but you're going to need to endure through. So you're going to have to walk through some things. But as you do faithfully, you're going to see me work this for the good. And man, you know, and I've seen it happen. It's behind my belt. Twice I've seen it happen. It without fail, whatever's happened in your life, how detrimental or simple or dramatic, God can make it work for the good. All you got to do is just trust him to do so. And just, and you know, patience gives God time to work.
Yeah.
And so as you do that, you'll see God work as you maintain faith. That's something I really enjoy. You know, you guys got good pastors. You know that, right?
Amen.
You got good pastors. I love being with them, man. They're so fun to be with. And spiritual and fun, both involved in it. And so, you know, they were sharing last night, you know, God rewards faithfulness. You know, and you've been at it for over 40 years, and this November we'll experience 42 years in ministry. I know you're shocked because I look so young. I don't know what to tell you. And He's like, whoa. So, and you know, but I'm going to say this by the grace of God. If it wasn't for the grace of God, this it wouldn't be happening. And the more you're in it, the more you know it's the grace of God. So it's grace, 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 and more grace. Grace is a good thing, isn't it? And faith is a good thing, isn't it? And so thank God for these. And so I'm just glad you're here. I'll share a few little simple things, and we're going to dive into a message. with this morning, and it's going to be cautionary, a cautionary type message. And I think tonight's going to be the same way too. So I have two messages that are like, be cautious, be cautionary about it, and we will be. And I just had this thought just come up. You know, I've gone through where, you know, we know God said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. We know that. We know that mentally. And then what happens is when you go through some things in life, you know, it doesn't rain, it pours, right? Not one thing is going wrong. It seems like many things are going wrong. And it can become overwhelming. Now, thank God we can overcome that with our trust and faith in God. And I remember driving down the road, and I did what my wife said. I go, Lord, where are you? Because it's bad and it's getting worse seemingly. And I heard him say so clearly, in you. I knew that was God. You didn't have to have a comfort. Are y'all with me? In other words, I didn't go anywhere. I'm right here. I'm living in you. I'm where you are. And just because we don't see him moving the way we wanted to see him move, he didn't leave. He's still there. He's still going to work all this out, and he's going to work it right. You know, the Bible says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he'll exalt you in due time. Now, what's due time? The right time. And the due time is not my time. That was a good place to say amen. Well, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. And so that would work with that. So that just some thoughts there. Now, when I get rolling here, I want to share with you. So we got a mini book, Overcoming Offenses. I taught this here 3 years ago, and we actually could do it again. There's so much information here. But it's God's provision for victory, no longer a prisoner of hurt. This has been God's mandate on this ministry for 32 years, all over. Wherever we've gone to, I'm always teaching on this. It's a good little book. It's only $3. It will work. It'll work wonderfully for you, and it'll keep you free from offense. This is a big thing. So who wants a book? I want to give it to you. You can say $3. Yes, ma'am, right back there. Matthew, you're so awesome. Isn't Matthew awesome? Yeah. He is, man. Yeah, right there. And then, so what I'm going to talk about is this, and now I'll share this additional, and I'll give you a story. I'm going to talk about, are you weary? Be cautious. Because the enemy, our common adversary, the devil, will try to jump in on the weariness. You know, it's hard to make a right decision when you're weary. It's hard to make a right decision when you're fried, you're worn out. It's very difficult. And the enemy tries to jump in on that to take advantage of it. So that's the title of the message. We'll dive into that. And what goes along with that is I've got a single CD called Staying Power, The Dynamic of Faith and Patience. And I don't have time to teach this message. It's involved your faith being tested, and it will be, and how you get through all that and get to a place where I got staying power. I'm not moving from my place in Christ. And that's what this really deals with. When we become weary, we can move out of the place that God would want us to be. And so that's what this helps to deal with that one. So who could use this on staying power? Yes, ma'am. And it's yours. You see they're back there, Matthew?
Yes,
sir. Yeah. All right. Thank you, ma'am. God bless you. Yeah. And then, all right, the walk of faith. Now, I know what you're thinking. Oh, my God, another faith message. No, we're not going to teach another faith message. But this does not deal with the specifics of faith. It deals with the generalities of it, meaning that faith to finish. When you start something in Christ, it will require faith to finish it. Faith is always the element that I walk by faith and not by sight. I walk by faith and not the way that I feel. And so my faith in Christ makes me a finisher when I start my course. And so who wants to have the CDs? We want to give it to you. And does anyone have CD SL in their car? We're moving the flash drive. We just now got that started, so I know we're behind the curve. Anyone got a CD left? Okay, ma'am, it's yours, right? Oh, y'all, yeah, well, don't be so shy, man. Over there, the wonderful lady with the blue on. And that, now, no, see, I try to give this tape away. No one wants it, CD. It's called Faith and Patience. Nobody wants it. I can't figure it out, you know, so I just plug it in my car and hear it on the way back. But the two wonderful ladies, you raised your hand, so you are winners on Faith and Patience. How about that one? Yeah, that's a good one. Thank you, Matthew. And then, You know, the Bible says Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. Now listen, not us. There's too many times we can make ourselves the author of our faith. And we're not the author of it. Jesus is. Yeah. Now, faith does come by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Now, why do I read the Word? I'm persuading my heart to the promise of what God's going to perform for me. So then he tries to bring doubts. He tries to get me to go by what I see and to go by what I'm feeling. And so when I go to the Word, he's persuading my heart that God's true to his Word, that God's going to keep his Word. And it keeps my heart persuaded in faith. Amen. That's why it's so important. So this is Jesus being the author and finisher of your faith. Yes, ma'am. Wonderful. We're keeping you busy, Matthew. And this last one's yours, okay? And this actually goes along with what we're going to teach on, partly. Strengthened in faith. So, there's divine strengthenings of God. I was in a church in Mobile, Alabama that was going through a difficult time. And I ended up saying by the Spirit of God that a divine vision requires divine strength to accomplish it. Now, example, remember Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane? He was praying, Father, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Remember that? He prayed that three times, a prayer of consecration. You don't pray just once. And as he's praying that, when he finished, an angel came, if you read it in Luke, an angel came and strengthened him. Now, if Jesus needed it, maybe we might. And I can tell you, I've needed it on quite a few different occasions to be divinely strengthened by God, and that's what he'll do. See, that's one of the antidotes for becoming weary is to be divinely strengthened. Because that gives you the ability to carry on and to move on and stay in the right place you need to be. So you got yourself a good CD. This is a bonus. How about that? Thank you, Matthew. And so it looks like this if you think you want that called the walk of faith. So thank you for your patience on that. You can teach while you're giving those away. I kind of like doing that. All right, so go to Galatians, all right? Galatians chapter 6. And let me see what time it is. If I don't know what time it is, we'll be in problems. When do you normally get out on Sunday? 12 and 3? That's a big spread, man. Okay, we'll get close as we can. All right, so go to Galatians chapter 6, okay? And I'm going to read probably a familiar scripture most of you probably know, but, we don't want to take that for granted. So Galatians chapter 6, we're going to read starting at verse 7, all right? Galatians 6, verse 7. The Bible says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will he also reap." So we know that, right? We understand farming. You plant seed, corn seed, you get corn. You plant tomato seed, you get tomato. We understand that. So what you plant is what you receive. What you sow is what you reap as a harvest. For he who sows to his flesh will the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit of the Spirit will reap everlasting life. Now, in regard to sowing and reaping, he's talking about in verse 9, and let us not grow weary while doing good. Don't grow weary while planting good seed, spiritual seed, doing spiritual things and doing good things. Don't become weary doing good. You got it? For in due season, everyone say due season. What's due season? The right season, and it's not our season. Are you with me? For in due season, now watch, you will reap. See, you'll reap because what you sow is what you reap. You sow good, you're going to reap from that group, that sowing. So we shall reap if we do not what? Lose heart. If we don't give up and lose heart. So what happens is, have you ever done something good for someone and you helped them over and over and over, then you needed help and they weren't around? Or you ever did good something for someone and they didn't even thank you for it? Or they weren't appreciative? And they didn't come like, well, the heck with that then. What good does it do to help people when they're not being appreciative about the thing? What good does that do? And we can't allow that kind of mentality because I'm going to keep planting good seed. Even though I don't get a thank you back or I get, I'm so appreciate what you did. Even though I don't get that back, I'm going to keep doing good. Are you with me? It's like, if you're going to be successful, then people will start, you know, complaining and talking about you and putting you down. Well, be successful anyway. You do good, and they want to put down the good you do. Do good anyway. If you sow, you reap what you sow. So we want to sow and keep sowing of the Spirit, spiritual things. And we do that by serving God. We do that in different avenues, like when you guys were involved in worship. That's sowing unto God. So what we want to be careful about is, I don't want to become faint-hearted. Now, faint-hearted means simply that I could become discouraged. I'm in a discouraged state, or maybe a little bit of a down state, which we definitely need to resist. We don't want to be that way at all. And so this happens because of I'm just not seeing the results. I'm doing all this doing, but I'm not seeing the results. So then if we're not careful, we can give up on our doing because we're not seeing the results of our effort. But the Bible plainly says if we don't become faint-hearted or if we don't become weary, then we will see a return, a harvest on what we're doing. Amen. You with me? Yeah. Now, so go to Hebrews now. And I'm thinking we probably should have started there. Hebrews, and we'll go to chapter. Yeah, I've got different verses there on Galatians. We may come back there. Hebrews chapter 12. Let's go there. I got different verses. We may pull that up a little bit later. Hebrews chapter 12. And let's start at verse 14, okay? Hebrews 12, verse 14. Pursue peace with all men and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God. That's one thing we look at, to be sure no one's falling short of that grace. And that there's not any root of bitterness springing up, and it causes trouble, and by this many become defiled. See, that's where that little mini book I got is huge. If anyone's going through a bitterness or an offense, all they need is that book and read it and apply what it says to do. And, you know, I learned this when I pastored about offense and that kind of thing, and I had God speak to me. And then I went through a heavy offense in 1993 myself. Lived offensive-free, and then I got so heavily offended, you know, you feel like having a burnt offering. Father God, I'm praying down fire and burn them up! And I'm sure you've never done that. And God's not going to let you stay there. It's a flesh moment. Anybody ever fleshed out every once in a while? Oh, everybody's holy but us, pastors. That's just amazing to me, man. But we don't want, look, even though you fleshed out, you just don't want to stay there. Are you with me? You know, it's like, I mean, I fleshed out before and I went, man, God, I didn't handle that too good at all. Dear Lord, thank you for your patience. Thank you for your kindness. And I want to thank you for forgiving me. You don't have to beg God to forgive you. The Bible says he's ready to forgive. Isn't that right? Ready. And all we do is just like, I just thank you, the blood of Jesus was shed. Because the blood of Jesus was shed, that's my forgiveness already. So I'm just acknowledging you. You know, gee whiz, I got the spirit of stupid right there. And I'm delivering myself of the spirit of stupid. I'm going to be in the spirit of God. Amen. And move on that way. So that's one part. We look out to be sure no one has a root of bitterness or any offense. A lot could be said there. But we're going to jump down to this in verse 16. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. Now, Esau, we probably know the story. We're going to read a few things there. But Esau treated spiritual things lightly. He didn't put any weight on it. He treated his birthright lightly. And so if we're not careful, we could treat spiritual things so lightly and not in a way that the way the scriptures are weighted and that God backs up those words. These principles are true. These laws are true. If I operate the principle, it's going to bring a return. If I operate the law, it's going to bring a return. Well, what's the law? If I sow the Spirit, I'll reap from the Spirit. But if I move down to a flesh level, I'll start reaping that level. And I know none of us want to be there. So the main thing is we don't want to become faint-hearted or overcome by discouragement or become weary in well-doing. Right. Now, so let's read this about, in Genesis 25, let's read about Esau. And this is so, in a lot of you probably already know this, but I would say most of you probably will not realize this one element about Esau, more than likely. So Genesis 25, we'll go to verse 29, okay? Genesis 25, 29. So Jacob was cooking some stew, and Esau came in from the field, and he was exhausted. Or I'm reading from the New King James Version, he was weary. You got that? So he's a place of weariness, a place of exhaustion. And now the next verse, please, verse 30. Okay, so I got it. And Esau said to Jacob, please feed me with that same red stew, for I am weary. Therefore, his name was called Edom. And Jacob said, sell me your birthright by this day. And Esau said, look, I'm about to die. Little exaggeration there, Esau. So what profit shall be to me to have a birthright if I'm going to die? Dear Lord, Esau, come on, man. That Jacob said, swear to me this day. So he swore to him, and he sold his birthright. Verse 34, and Jacob gave Esau bread and stew of lentils. Then he ate and drank, arose, and went his way. Then Esau despised his birthright. And so he treated these things lightly according to Hebrews. Why did he treat spiritual things lightly? He became weary. Now, story. When I pastored in New Mexico for 10 years, 83 to 93, there was a lady in my church that was born again, spirit-filled, and attending church, and was doing a great job. And in a few years, she came in my office. She said, Pastor, I believe God wants me to go to Rhema. I go, really? Yeah, I really believe God wants me to go, but you know, I don't have the money right now, and there's certain things need to line out. I go, well, let's me and you pray, and let's ask God and trust God, because if he's leading this way, he's going to open the doors for you to be able to go. And so we prayed. Within about a three-month period, she's back, and she goes, God's brought the money, everything's in order, and I'm going to be going to Rhema. Now, praise God, we want to send you on your way, send you, get you going there and give you some blessings on that way. So she went to Rhema, and she married a man there, and then they moved to Phoenix, Arizona, and they were involved as associate pastors for Dynamic Church. Really, really good church. Well, over a period of, and I don't know how long, it could have been 18 years, 15, 20 years, I'm not sure how long they've been in ministry at that point. And see, that's where we need to be careful. It's being in Christianity a long time that if we're not careful, it can become mundane. Yeah. Oh, I go to church because if I don't, my conscience will really prick me. Wow. That's not the right reason to go. I understand it, but it's not. Why do I go to church? Because I want to learn. I want to learn not only that I can grow and develop me who God's called me to be and grow in Christ and be in Christ and learn these blessings of God and the benefits, but also I can learn in church what's God's plan for my life. What's God's purpose for my life? What does he want me to do? Or is there something he has that I can do for Christ that he has for me? That's part of church too, is finding our place that God's called us to do something. So all that's working, but then she got to a place that major deception came in. She quit the ministry. Now, you have to hear the whole story, so don't quit on me too quick. She got out of the ministry, moved away from her husband, from her children, her grandchildren, to move back to New Mexico, where I pastored. And then wasn't involved in a right situation there. Are y'all with me? And so this pastor called me and told me about her. And I know her. I pastored her. And I was shocked. I go, if anyone you think there's no way this would happen, this can lead anywhere. I'm sorry. One step out of light, into darkness can lead anywhere. Okay, one step out of light into dark can lead anywhere. And so we have to be, when we're becoming weary and tired and exhausted, be cautious, slow down, wait. Have your time with God. Get all that worked out with God. You know, why are you so exhausted? What are you doing that's the will of God and more, and get rid of the and more and do the will of God? Are y'all with me? Take a break. Do something you like doing. Do something you enjoy. Take a break and then get back, you know, into the steering wheel, so to speak. These are practical things. And I was shocked. And I'm praying about it and praying about it. And what I got is she got weary. She got burnout. Because she got weary and exhausted, she burned out. And when, look, has anybody ever burned out before? Has anyone ever burned out? And what's your attitude like? I could care less. Isn't that right? It just kicks in. I don't know what it is. It's just a sister to burnout. It's just like you could care less about anything because there's no motivation because you're fried, you're tired, you're weary. And the enemy, our common adversary, will see that and try to play on the emotion with lies. Oh, you thought, look, all you did, all this here and all that, and you just weren't appreciated. Now they want you to do even more, and you're doing this, you're doing that. You're just better to get out, get out. And she did. And I'm talking to, he's a good friend, pastor, I'm talking to him, and we're praying. And he said, you know, I want her back. I love her. I want her back. And he was trusting God. He really was sensing from God that, you know, to stay on that line, to do that, to stay with that, to trust God. He really wanted her back. And within 3 months, could have been 4 or 5 months, through a series of difficult situations, but there came a change. And in that change then, you know, they began to talk, and she's like, you know, I really want to come back. And he goes, good, I'll come get you. I want you to come back. And he got her, brought her back there. But you see, once that goes on, you have to be, restoration now kicks in. Are you with me? So she's got to be restored to God, number one. Number two, she's got to be restored to her husband. Number three, restored to her family. And number four, restored to the church. That's a lot of elements there. And thank God the church understood grace and faith. They understood unmerited favor. They understood, I'm not going to judge you. What you did wasn't right, but I also know that once you repent, I can reaffirm my love to you. Amen. Are y'all with me? See, if you read 1 Corinthians, you'll find out there was a man with an incest relationship with evidently his stepmother, which is a wrong relationship, and the church had to deal with that situation. And so then you go to 2 Corinthians, and Paul said that, look, such has been, the punishment given this man's been enough. And so now, if you forgive anything, I've forgiven that one for your sakes in Christ. Now, this is a man with an incest relationship that had it. He said, now reaffirm your love to this man. Hello, somebody. That'd be like someone in your church, they committed adultery. Unfortunately, it happens. But he comes back and is repentive. Their person's restored. And then hopefully the marriage can be restored. And all that goes on. And then what do? You don't keep looking at that person under a judgmental eye. You look at that person with, we're going to reaffirm our love to that person. Yeah. Am I doing okay here? Yeah. Am I doing all right? Yeah. See, that's why the Bible says in Galatians 6, the first part, if anyone's caught in a fault, restore them. And if you go back to 5, it talks about the works of the flesh. That's what you get restored from. Yes, church? Amen. We're not those who, when someone's down, we're going to kick them and make them worse.
Amen.
We're going to help them through that. We're going to help them out of that.
Yep.
Amen. But they took the step of repentance. I just messed up. I made some wrong decisions. And then I got to preach for them about 6-7 months ago. And, you know, I was asked her some questions and trying to dig in there and find out how the enemy got in. And she looks at me and she just says, Pastor, I want you to forgive me. It'll break your heart. Oh, my God. She goes, I want you to forgive me, you know, for the choices I made and all that. And I go, it's all right. You are forgiven. I just love you. And I know this isn't you. I know you. And that was not you.
Amen.
That was somebody else.
Amen.
And that was the enemy taking advantage of her weariness and then came in it with such a deceptive spirit that she thought she was right in her decisions. It's crazy. It's just crazy. And that's why then I began to seek God about this thing. And so that's why I'm teaching this. And I don't know, I was going to teach. I had a leading that way, but I thought it'd be Sunday night. But I'm impressed to do it Sunday morning. So I just obey. I mean, it pays to obey God. So, okay, then I messed up. It's not Sunday night. You want to do it Sunday morning. And so this is the lesson God wanted to bring out so that if we're ever weary, we got to be cautious and careful about that. But now, thank God, she came back around and hopefully the lessons learned, right? And then through that, you know, as a minister, as one that travels and was her pastor, then I'm like, I saw a valuable lesson there that where we can learn from and learn not to flow and operate in that when we are that way. And operate like that. So let's go to 2 Corinthians, please. Chapter 4. And let's read a verse to you there. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Are y'all doing okay? Okay, great. So what am I saying? I'm going to say it again. If you start to become weary or faint-hearted or discouraged, be careful. Be cautious. Slow down. Get a grip on it. Something's going on, and it's going to lead in a wrong direction. If it keeps going the way it is, it's going to lead you into a path that is possible. You can make a series of very wrong choices. It is possible. No one plans on it. No one wants to. But when you're in that situation, the enemy comes with these deceptive thoughts, and, you know, the other side's greener, the other side's better. And it's not better. God's will is the best part for you. Getting out of God's will is not better. Right? Amen. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I'll help you out. 2 Corinthians after 1 Corinthians. You can find it easier in your Bible that way. Like helping people. Chapter 4, verse 16. My poor wife goes, oh, dear Jesus, Father, help my husband. Verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart. He's talking about we have this ministry. And we don't lose heart. You'll see it in chapter 4, verse 1. Let's read chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose... Oh, I'm sorry, I read that wrong. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. Well, mercy's involved. Just saw that now. God's mercy's involved. Lord, I'm coming to you. Matter of fact, the Bible says, come boldly or confidently to the throne room of grace that you may obtain mercy. The Amplified Bible says, for your failures. That's good, right? Yeah. And find grace to help in time of need. Not only will God grant me mercy, but He'll give me grace to overcome it. Amen. That's what the grace is for. It's to overcome. It's not to stay there. It's to overcome it. So now we go to verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Day by day. You ever notice when you get older, you look in the mirror and you go, my God, another wrinkle. Where did that come from? And you look in there and you go, like, I feel a whole lot younger than you look. We had that conversation. The outward man's perishing, but the inward man can be renewed day by day. See, it's the inward man we got to pay attention to. It's the hidden man of the heart. It's the God man on the inside we need to pay attention to that makes up our heart. If we pay attention to that, we're going to stay in a good place. We're going to stay in a good position because I'm paying attention to my heart. Okay. Does anyone here have a truck? Y'all drive trucks? Anyone drive a truck? Yeah, okay, woo, come on, truck man. You ever drove your truck and you're thinking something's wrong with my truck? It's not riding right, it's not driving right. And so you pull back and start looking around and the emergency brake's on. Oh, and you pull the emergency brake, my truck's back. See, we got enough sense to know when my car's not working right, my truck's not working right, it's the same way spiritually. Something's not right. I want to give an example. This keeps coming up, so I'll give the example. I went through a situation quite a few years ago, and I was at the place of frustration. And that went on for 1 month, 2 months, almost three. And I just kind of came to myself on that, and I thought, something's not right. Because a Christian's not supposed to live in frustration, period, but definitely not 3 months. So we need to deal with this thing. We need to get it fixed. So I'm talking to God about it. And it's some wisdom's really going to come. God just wants me to share this story. So I'm talking to God, Lord, why am I so frustrated? God, what's going on? I know I'm not supposed to be this way. And the Lord, you know, he related two things to me, and I hope to bring it out right. One is with the frustration. He said, you're trying to control something you can't control. That's right. And boy, was I. And I went, oh, golly, yeah, I sure am. I'm trying to control a situation or move a situation that I really have no influence to do so. But I want it to go that way. But it's not going that way. But it needs to go that way. But it's not going that way. It's right to go that way, but it's not going that way. So I'm frightened. And the Lord just, that's when he revealed that you're trying to control something you can't. And the lights went off. And I went, well, if that's the case, that means this is a care. And I know what to do with cares. And so I roll my care off on you, God. It's your care. Now look, I'm going to trust you with the situation. I'm going to trust you with the circumstance. It's in your hands now. And you know, the moment, the second I did that, the frustration left. Instantly gone. No frustration, wonderful peace. Peace, peace, wonderful peace. That's where we want to be. Then God went on to explain, you know, on this situation, what happens is when something goes wrong, you keep going back to the past and blaming the past. You keep, well, if that person had made this decision, this wouldn't be going on. And I go, if that person had done this, this wouldn't be going. And it's right. Every time something happened, I would keep going back to the past, blaming the person for that decision they made about the past. Are y'all with me? And Lord was relating to me that under the circumstance you're at now, you don't want that situation to change, and I don't. And he said, so why are you keep going back to the past? Because all you're doing is creating a separation. You're creating a gap, an issue. And that can create icy situations or wrong situations. And I don't want to be in detail about it. But the Lord just relayed, you keep going back to the past. And here's something about the love of God. And, you know, your pastor gave me your love of God shirt. I got one. Slept in it last night, praise God. Broke it in. I thought the love of God would be good to have on me while I was sleeping. There you go. Now listen to this. You ready? The love of God does not take account of the evil done to it. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. Gee whiz, I'm not doing good there. Because I kept going back to the suffered wrong. And one version says, a wrong endured. Yeah. Yeah. Am I the only?
No, that's right.
A wrong endured. I'm enduring something because someone made a decision that was wrong, and I'm having to endure through it. Are you with me? And I keep going back there and made that decision. I wouldn't be going through this junk right now and all these situations. Are you with me? And Lord's relating. You keep going back there. You keep going back there. And what he told me, what he ministered to me was, what you need to do is don't go back there anymore because the situation's not going to change. You don't want to change, and I don't. And he said, so where you're at, ask me for wisdom where you're at right now, and my wisdom will be the right answer, and it'll keep peace. Amen. That's worth it for that story right there. So I know what to do. And I ever since I haven't done that, I just go to, okay, God, thank you. Yeah, not that. Lord, thank you for wisdom right here. Anybody get something?
Yeah.
On that one?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Praise God. All right, so going further. The outward man is perishing. The inward man is renewed day by day. That's by divine strengthening. And then I'm going to get there and we'll be through. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. A light affliction. And if you've read what Paul went through, I don't know I'd call that light. But that's, he, Because he's comparing it to eternity. He's comparing it to the glory of God. He's comparing it to everything that God has to offer. Down here, it's just a light affliction compared to all eternity. Then he goes a further. So, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, because the things that are seen, now watch, the things you see are temporary. Say this with me. What I see, is temporary. It's temporary. Yep. What you see is temporary. Yep. It's not going to be around forever. It's temporary. And then it goes on to say that, past that, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So that's where we're now. We're going to walk by faith, not by sight. Now we're going to walk by, okay, what's God speaking? What's God saying? When you read the Bible, what's God saying about that situation? What is he saying about the circumstance? So then from that, now by faith, then I apply that circumstance. See, when something would happen, you could go back to blaming the past, but God spoke to me. And I go, I'm not going back there. Father, I ask you for wisdom, and I thank you for it right here in this situation. My, you know, God's smart. You know, he knows how to counsel you. God's remarkable. It's just a matter of just having your time with God to let God speak and let God reveal and show. And he'll do it. He's not hiding anything from us. He'll do, well, yeah, but you're a preacher. I wasn't always a preacher. Wasn't always a minister. This is not because you're a preacher. It's because you're a Christian. It's because you're a son of God or a daughter of God. This has no, look, there's an anointing upon his life and her life to preach to as pastors. There's an anointing upon my life, an anointing upon our life. I'm anointed to be a teacher. There's an anointing upon my life to be a teacher. But that anointing doesn't work in everyday life. It's the anointing within that works in everyday life. Amen. Ooh, I got a good thing on the anointing. You're going to have to pray with me about tonight, okay? I'll talk about that in a second. So now, okay, so what do I do when I become weary? Yeah, we'll do that. We'll do that. God's so good, man. When I was going through this circumstance a while back, and I got a phone call from Anita. I called the prophet lady. She's a really neat lady. And a true prophetess, true, and real, and correct, and accurate. And so, you know, she's calling me, and she goes, how you doing? And my immediate response was, I can't do this anymore. Great men of faith and power, right? Now, see, I was so overwhelmed, I'm not seeing with the eye of faith. See, that's what the Bible says about the sower that sows the word. And it talks about that there's seed that fell among the thorns. And it said, and the cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches, not riches, the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things enter in. It enters in. And what does it do? You remember? It chokes the word. It chokes the word. So the cares of this life was choking the word on the inside of me. And then she goes, oh, Brother David. And I'm thinking, oh, here we go. Brother David, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Men and Slap, you're too young for that one. I know you're all too. You remember the Men and Slap commercial where the guy had the men and he goes, I needed that. By men and. Yeah. Y'all remember the commercial? Got to have a few gray hairs for that one. Younger generation, sorry, we got to explain. He slapped the living daylights out of himself, man. And so, but that's why I smell so good. I've had so many of them. When you get around me, well, that guy smells good. That's those Men and Slaps. Yeah. Where was I before I rudely interrupted myself? Do y'all remember? The cares of this life chokes the word. And she said, you can do all things through Christ. And you know what? I felt like someone put a dunce hat on my head. Because I believed that promise. I believed it. Look, I got it highlighted in my Bible. It's in orange. That's a colloquial term in Tennessee for orange. That's important. But just because it's highlighted in your Bible and just because you know it doesn't mean you're operating it. That's why people say things, well, I know you know this, but it doesn't mean we're doing it. And when she said that, I just went, oh, man, I believe that promise. I believe that with all my heart. And so I just, okay, there's corrective time. There's a word spoken. And I went, okay, that's it. Then that's exactly what I'm going to do. I can do all things. Everybody say all things.
All things.
Say it with me. I can.
I can.
What?
Do
what?
All
what?
All
whatever you may be facing now, you can do all things.
Yes.
How?
Christ.
Who what?
Strength.
Ah. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So all I did is I started confessing that, believing that. I can do all things. I can do all things in this situation. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I believed that promise. I believed it. And that promise worked. Now, this is where my CD comes in on faith and patience, because my faith is being tested. And when your faith is tested, your faith will be up, it'll be down. It'll be up, it'll be down. Now that you left it, you didn't leave it, it's just like you're okay. The next day, you're like, oh, we're a little challenged. Whoo, I'm doing good. Oh, my God. It's like this. And then it gets less and less. And then finally, after a while, by the help of the Spirit of God, you get a hold of yourself and you go, you know what? I'm tired of this stuff. My flesh is fickle. And here's what's going to go on, God. I believe right now I'm going to give you the whole situation and you're going to make this work for the good. And your faith settles on that.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, this happened. Doesn't matter. God's going to make it work for the good.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not where I want to be today. Doesn't matter. God's going to make it work for the good. Are y'all with me? And faith just gets settled. It just gets this, and it's because the enemy's trying to test your faith.
That's right. That's right.
Is this helping anybody?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm sure helping myself. Don't become weary. There's divine strengthenings in God. And guys, look, I could teach another hour just on divine strengthenings alone. Because the Apostle Paul, now I will show you this. Go to Colossians, okay? Go to Colossians, all right? And go to chapter 1 and look at verse 29. Colossians 1, 29. Everybody still doing okay?
Yep.
Colossians 1, 29, watch this. To this end I also labor. How do you labor, Paul? Striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. How do you work, Paul? I work by God working in me. There's a great prayer in Philippians, and I prayed a lot. Lord, work in me of your will and of your good pleasure. That's a good prayer. That's a good invitation. God, work in me your will. I want to do your will. Work in me and work through me your will. And work in me your good pleasure. Now you're not relying on you to do it. That takes faith. You're relying on God to do it. That's grace. God's going to do that work. And then we respond to the working of God. Oh, it's just super. All right. Now, with that in mind, okay, now go to Ephesians, okay? Now with that, go to Ephesians. A lot of you probably know this one already. It's okay. It's good to read it again. Ephesians chapter 3, okay? Ephesians chapter 3. And this, I prayed this prayer every day for at least a month. Every day, because it was the avenue by which God would strengthen me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, but I pray this because this is one way that I would be strengthened by God divinely in prayer. So Colossians chapter 3, look at verse 13. Let's start there. Verse 13. Therefore, I ask that you do not lose heart. Don't lose heart. Don't become faint-hearted at my tribulations, which is for you. So now I don't want you to lose heart. I don't want you to lose heart at what I'm going through for this reason. So if you're losing heart, he prays this. I bow my knees unto the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Here we go. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might or be of power through his Spirit. Where? Welcome to a supernatural God. Because that is completely supernatural. And it'll work. in my inner man. Thank you for that inner. Thank you for that strength in God. Thank you for it. Amen. Now, God's impressed me to say this, so I'm going to say it. You ever where you're involved in something and you're driving from work and you're looking at everything and you're thinking about your situation, thinking about your circumstance, and you get home and you go, I'm going to pray about this. I'm getting this settled. And you get it settled. And God speaks to you, and inside there's this, His perspective. He gave you His perspective. There's faith in there. There's grace in there. There's hope in there. There's joy in there. And there's strength in there. And then when you drive from work, you go, oh, look at that sunset. Isn't that awesome? Man, look at the pretty flowers on this side. I'm going to get me a cup of coffee. But the circumstance hasn't changed yet. But you have. Can anyone relate? That's what we want right there. When you've changed on the inside, there's the strengthening, there's the work of God. That hasn't changed. You changed, but that's going to change because you changed.
Yeah.
The perspective is different. Now you're going to see things from the eyes of faith. Now you're going to speak from the eyes of faith. You got it? So we can be strengthened by Spirit in the inner man. Now let me show you the result of that divine strengthening. Go back to Colossians. We're all over the whole Bible, aren't we? Well, it's called church. Colossians 1. You're going to like this, man. You ever heard this one? I don't pray for patience. My God, you pray for patience. Oh, you're going to get a lot of tests and trials and problems and troubles. I ain't praying for no patience. Anybody ever heard that?
Yeah.
It's a lie. It's a lie. Now, don't get me wrong. I know what James says, that the test of your faith, that it does work your patience, but that is the lowest form of getting patience. And the Bible says God didn't give you that test. God did not give you that test, right? The circumstance is the way I exercise my faith in that circumstance that exercised the patience, but I want to show you something about divine strength, what it does, and how it helps you in that area in itself. All right, so Colossians 1, verse 9. For this reason, we also, since today we heard it, and I cease to pray for you and to ask. So this is something you can pray over and over and over and over. That you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. I love this prayer. I pray this prayer a lot. Not every day, but I pray it a lot. I love this prayer. And when I got right with God, it was birthed in me. I began to pray that way and didn't even know it was in the Bible. God put a hook in my jaw to do His will. When I got right with God, all I could say is, what's Your will for my life? What's Your will for my life? It drove me to anxiety. I was a baby Christian. I don't let that anxiety operate now. We rest in God when it comes to that. What's Your will? But that's how bad I want to do the will of God. What's Your will? God put it in there. That's another sermon. What propels you to your destiny? I do five or six anyway in one. So that we be filled with knowledge, will, and always spiritual understanding. Now verse 10. That you may have a walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. Now look at verse 11. This is under the context of doing God's will. Strengthened with all might. That's Ephesians 3. According to His glorious power for or resulting in or unto. You with me? Now I pray you be strengthened because that will result in. I pray you're strengthened because that will unto something to you. So I pray you're strengthened with might unto all what? Come on, read it with verse 11. Strength with all might according to His glorious power for all patience. Resulting in, if you read your margin, resulting in or unto all patience. So divine strengthening gives you the ability to be patient. And so if you're feeling weary, you're becoming impatient. And if you're strengthened, you can be patient in a situation that's not easy, but it's a power. It's a divine strengthening, and that gives you the ability to stay with it until you overcome that weariness and keep a right perspective. So then, so you strengthen the mind with all patience. I'm sorry. Slow down. Strength with all might, according to his glorious power unto patience, and then what? Long suffering. Long suffering. Dear Lord, I don't like that word, but it's okay. Divine strengthening for patience and long suffering. Now, what's the next word?
Joy.
With joy. What a kicker. Joy, 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 joy. Man, I know workers. I know them. I know what they're going through. How could they be so happy? Shouldn't they be worried? No, not at all. We're not worried because we got it to the one that's going to take care of the worry. Right? So this is one way we deal with weariness. Number one, we saw that in Scripture. Like, God, I'm coming to the throne room of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in my time of need. Father, I need some insight from you. I need you to speak to me. I need you to show me some things. Help me to have your perspective on this situation. Amen. And then, Father, strengthen me with might by your Spirit in my inner man. And that gives you the patience for the day. You ever woke up and you thought, I don't want to deal with today? I have. And it's like, okay, God, I'm praying that prayer right there. Strengthen me with by your Spirit in my inner man. And let's go. Let's go on with the day, because we're going to go the day with you. Amen. All right, well, praise God. Thank you all. Thank you all. Did really good. Did you get something, I hope?
Amen.
So if you ever start to become weary, church, please be cautious. Now, the good result on the story I told you was she's back with her husband, she's back with her family, and the church was gracious.
Amen.
Now, a few people didn't understand it, and they did have a few go. Unfortunately, things like that can happen, but the majority stayed with it, and they're loving on her. They restored her. And this is big for a church. That's a big step, because they went through that thing with this whole situation. So they did a good job. They had a good foundation on them. So look, you guys. I just pray that the Holy Ghost will take this and will burn it inside of us. Then when we start to become weary or discouraged, this will kick in. That I don't allow it. And I'm going to get God's mercy. I'm going to spend time, get His perspective. And I'm definitely going to be divinely strengthened. Y'all with me? Right. So I want to close this way. And I'm going to assume everyone here is saved. I'm going to assume so. Anyone here not saved? Because we'll get you saved, which is easy to do, receiving Christ. Let's put it this way. Does everyone here know if you were to die right now that you'd make it to heaven? Does everyone know that?
Amen.
Praise God. Anyone here not sure? Because we want to change it. Anyone not sure you'd make it to heaven? Okay. Praise God. I figured. Now, I want to pray. If you're like, you know what? You know, I'm in a place like that. And I want that divine strengthening that you're talking about. Is there anyone here and that fits you? Because we want to pray for you. Okay. And we'll pray. Anyone else? And that kind of fits your situation where you're at right now? Okay. Thank you. And same thing. We'll pray. We'll get that divine strengthening in there. Anyone else now? I mean, this doesn't mean you're a bad Christian. It doesn't mean you're backslid. It just means you're just going through some situations and just you're going to get some additional help. That's all it means.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, thank you. Yeah. I'd raised my hand back quite a few years back. I mean, I just became transparent with you. Anyone else before we pray? All right. Now, so this is precautionary for most of you, which I'm not surprised about, really. Precautionary that now I know what to do when I'm sensing a weariness about me. Amen. Okay, so those of you that raised your hand, I want to do this quickly so we can get this get our service over with. Can you come up? Can we pray? Can we pray for you? I want to lay hands on you. I see so many good things happen with the laying on of hands. And I want that to happen because I want God to impart. So come on up here if you would, please. And we'll just pray for you. We won't make this a long thing. We'll make it real quick. And we'll receive by faith. We'll pray by faith. And here we go. And so there's the divine strengthenings of God. And that's what we're going to receive. And the Bible says those that wait upon the Lord, he shall renew their strength, right? So that's what we're going to get. And you have it. You have it. But we're going to get this divine impartation of it according to the Word of God. So, Father, in Jesus' name, I want to thank you for my sister in Christ. And, Father, I pray that you will strengthen her with might by your Spirit in her inner man. Peace that surpasses all understanding, your wonderful love, in the fruit of joy. So, Father, we thank you for a divine impartation. We thank you for this divine strengthening by your Spirit in her inner man. That brings change. In Jesus' name. Father, in the name of Jesus, I lift up these sisters to you. Father, you know much more than anyone else does. And there's light at the end of the tunnel. But there's a lamp in darkness, so to speak. There's a lamp that lights up your path. And as you walk down that path, you get out of this cave, so to speak, and there's ultimate light, freedom, not surrounded by all the circumstance of darkness. Matter of fact, the Bible says he will enlighten your darkness. So, Father, thank you for that enlightenment on a right path. Now, Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that they be strengthened with might by your Spirit in the inner man. The impartation of peace that surpasses all understanding. Your love. The love of God shed upon our heart by the Holy Ghost, loving on them in your joy. So, Father, we thank you for a spring in their step. And we thank you they're walking with you and they know it. And we thank you for that divine impartation in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Okay. Thanks for letting me pray for you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure. Amen. Y'all did such a good job of receiving. Now, tonight's at 6:30, right, Pastor? So look, pray with me about tonight, because what I plan on going tonight, lest God change it, is talking about the heart and how a person was in ministry for like 16 years and they went off. And here's what they said: I'm following my heart. And I went, God, that, I didn't have a comeback for that one. So I went to God about it. I got an answer. God gave me an answer. And it's about the heart and how we can learn from it and be at a place where we're cautionary and regarding our heart. Because we have to guard it, right? And I'm more convinced than I ever have been in my entire life, especially being in ministry for a long time or walking with God a long time, We got to guard our heart. We got to pay attention to it. That's tonight. It'll be, as I say in Spanish, it'll be mucho gusto. And you'll enjoy it. All right? So yeah, that doesn't go over very well with Spanish people. They're like, what? Well, who knows Spanish? Who does? Oh, you like it? You like that, huh? Yeah. They don't know. That don't quite know. No. I know it. I pastor to churches mostly.
That's two.
That's two. Oh, God. I better be careful, man. All right. Well, mercy and grace, mercy and grace. So just pray with me. God could change it, but right now I have a pretty good that's going to go that way. You'll enjoy the teaching. It's very insightful. Okay. God bless everybody. Thank you, pastors.